welcome everyone to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you're joining us today. There is that river of God's anointing that carries us through those difficult times in our lives. It's the anointing is His presence. And we thank you, God, for your presence on this show today.
Amen.
Woo! I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and just a minute, I'm having a technical problem here. All right, I think that's resolved. And Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor, is right here to my left. And Nan is in the studio helping us on emails, and you can email during the show today, pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. We're going to have a fun show, Pastor Jim.
We are.
Don't we always, though, really? I mean, we just don't have duds around
right here.
We just have fun. It's just been a great day. God has just been doing some wonderful things. It's 80 degrees. It's sunny. It's beautiful. And somebody needed to borrow my SUV today from church, and I got to drive all around showing property today in a little beautiful red Mercedes convertible. How blessed am I, Pastor Jim? Yeah, that blessed. It was fun. Oh, my. We've just had a great day. God is just doing wonderful things in the ministry at Beacon of Hope, is He not?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
We had how many new people today?
Six. That's a lot. Yeah, six new people. And, it's just we welcome anybody out there that does not have a home church. If you have a home church, by all means, go to your home church. But if you don't and you want to come and visit Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, we're easy to find on Almerton, basically right behind the Burger King, 3700 Almerton.
Right.
So right beside the Golden Diamond Source, I believe it is. And in that shopping center, we got some great food. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of food in there. Five Guys and all kinds of stuff, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Just what we need.
Well, and a lot of us go there on Wednesday night right before the service, right? Because Bible study. Tell everybody what happens on Wednesday night, Pastor Jim.
Wednesday nights, we get together at church about 6:15. We start our prayer time, which is when we take prayer requests, praise reports, spend some time praying the word and, praying about the prayer requests that have come in. Then at 7 o'clock or thereabouts, we start the Bible study, which is a really interactive Bible study. You know, we encourage questions. In fact, it's just kind of odd because I'm doing a series now on boot camp basics. So
yes,
this week we're going to talk about water baptism, and it seemed like everything in my, I love my outlines. Got to have my outlines.
Yes, you got to have your outlines. Your outlines are great. They help us learn. Yeah.
And this one, every time, is a question.
Oh,
so
really?
We encourage questions.
We encourage questions. We want people to participate and get involved.
Yeah.
It's very interactive. And it's Bible study. It's exactly what it is. And people a lot of times come from work and they bring their dinner and we set up tables. And it's just a fun time to get to know the family at Beacon of Hope. Which is growing all the time, and it's a blessing, and about ready to outgrow this facility. And we thank God for that, because God has just really been doing a lot in the ministry at Beacon of Hope. Lives changed, all by the Word of God. Where the Word of God brings healing
and
restoration to hurting lives, that's what we're all about here in Clearwater, Florida. There are many of you that listen to us regularly. You're in other states. We hear from some of you. We'd love to hear from anybody today. The computer is up, and all you have to do is write an email to pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistries. Make sure it has the IES on the end of ministry, ministries.com. So we welcome you to do that. And Pastor Jim, did we have church this morning, or do we have church? I mean, was it just like wild? Or?
We had church about three times.
you got to explain that. Some people go, what do you mean you had three services?
Well,
nah, not really. Kind of, sort of.
Kind of. Well, because the praise band gets together before church. We get together about
9 o'clock,
pray, then we practice. But it seems like practice is always wonderful.
It's just wonderful.
We have worship then.
Yes.
Then we get to do it all over again.
At 10 o'clock.
And then today at the end of the service, we got to do it all over again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Communion time today.
We
it was just wonderful.
And finished up with the blood will never lose its power, and we just kept singing, and we just kept getting blessed.
Wasn't that wild? I mean, seriously, that was a great, great service. Fantastic. Nan, I know you're not planning on being on the show, but can you comment? What do you think? Is God just doing some mighty things? I'm just going to pull you in for a minute here.
That's okay. He's doing a lot of mighty things. Lives are being changed.
Yes.
Just like the scripture that we stand by with the church. Communion is always such a special time. We kind of reflect upon how we are, our relationship with the Lord, and then we partake of His body and His blood, and symbolically.
Yes.
And, it's just, you just kind of, go up and get it as you see fit, when you want to go up. You don't.
Sure.
It's not passed around back to you actually go up. It's like symbolic of, I am going to you, Christ.
Isn't that great? Absolutely. Yes. And there's excitement in the air. Have you noticed it, Nana, Beacon of Hope?
There's a lot of excitement. It's like the anticipation of Christmas. What am I? So I'm going to get something special at Christmas. I know someone's going to be a special thing. And it's like just this anticipation of knowing, when I come into church, I'm going to get something special from the Lord if I'm open to receive it.
There you go.
You have to receive the gift.
Amen.
There you go. That's great. Thank you for that. That little input. It is all about whether or not we're willing to receive it, isn't it, Pastor Jim?
Amen. Amen. Because God has already done everything He can through Jesus. I mean, on the cross, it's all been taken care of.
Yes.
But it does us no good until we appropriate it by faith. Until we accept what He's done by faith, then we get to open up our Christmas presents.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, wow. Mighty things are going on. God is doing a mighty work. You can find your Bible and get to the 41, Genesis chapter 41. But first, we're going to listen to this great song by Jana Long, Greater Is He.
Oh, you've been feeling so lost under the open sky. It's like crossing a desert, it's so hot and dry. You wanna lay down and die. Oh, and you've been trying to breathe and get your second wind. You've been asking God for strength to try again, 'cause you're about to give in. See where you are, yes, I have been there too. Oh, I've been in the fire, and I've made it through. But don't be discouraged, no. Oh, yes, He is there with you, and He'll bring you one, yes. There's not a mountain standing in your way. It won't fall apart.
Greater is He. Amen. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's a scripture we have to hang on to a lot, Pastor Jim, because
Amen.
The devil wants to lie to us and deceive us into believing that his tactics and his little tricks and his schemes are more powerful than the God we serve.
Right.
And we know better than that.
Amen.
We know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Joseph knew that. And mm-hmm. we have been talking in Genesis now for about 6 weeks is what I believe we have been on this series. This series is entitled Being Blessed Beyond. There will come a point when these sermons from Sunday morning are put on the website. So look for that series, Being Blessed Beyond. This was number 6 this morning. And it's the life of Joseph. And it started out actually the life of Jacob. And then we took it into the life of Joseph. And when I started that, I had no clue it was going into this series like this. It's just how it's developed and how God has just brought it together. And we're at the point with Joseph where he has been sold into slavery by his brothers, 10 of them, sold him into slavery. And that was a few chapters ago. And he was taken down to Egypt. You want to kind of recap where we are right now, Pastor Jim?
Yeah, after Joseph got to Egypt, he was bought basically as a slave by Potiphar, who was one of the king's royal governors. And everything that, I mean, Potiphar's house was blessed because Joseph was blessed.
Amen. And because Joseph was in his house, Potiphar's house was blessed.
Amen.
And that's a good point right there. That's a huge point.
Amen. And then Potiphar's wife thought Joseph was a pretty good-looking young thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Came on to him
and tried to seduce him. Joseph right. said no. She accused him of trying to rape her. And then so Joseph was tossed into jail. Now, most of us would, just in our flesh, you'd think, oh, okay, God, I tried to serve you. And look where I'm at now. First, I got tossed into a pit, sold to the Ishmaelites, end up in Egypt.
Exactly.
And now I'm in jail.
And some people out there today may be thinking, you know, I've tried this, God, I've tried to serve you, and this happened, this bad thing happened,
right.
and then this bad thing happened. We can all relate, I think, to
right.
the story of Joseph.
Right.
Not been necessarily thrown into a pit and sold into slavery.
But
however,
experiencing the frustration
exactly.
and when is this ever going
right.
to change? And,
right.
you know, all of that kind of thinking. And, you know, here Joseph, but yet even in jail, the jailer.
Yes.
Just kind of turned everything over to Joseph because the jailer knew that God was with Joseph. I mean,
ooh, that's
you know,
huge,
God
don't you think?
Blessed.
Just walking around, people should know
that there's something different, that,
yes.
that God is,
yes.
is with us.
Amen.
And in fact, in my own devotional reading, I just read earlier in Genesis with Abraham and Abimelech.
Yes.
And Abimelech's commander, Phicol. You know, they wanted to make a covenant, and if you with Abraham, and this was just after, you know, Abraham had offered up Isaac, and it you read it and you think, well, on the surface it's like, okay, so they just want to enter into an agreement, but and I have to read this because I just
go
got
ahead.
So
this
blessed
this applies
because it
so
does apply.
Applies.
Let me see if I can find it here. Isaac treaty with Abimelech. Sorry, it was before he offered up Isaac. But after Isaac's birth. At that time.
Where are you in Genesis?
I'm in Genesis 21. Sorry,
21.
You know me. 21
okay.
verse 22-ish. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all you do. So they knew.
They knew.
Could see that.
Yes, praise God.
Now, therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or my descendants
mm-hmm.
with my, or you, or with my descendants, with my posterity, but as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned.
So good.
And I, every time I read this, I just think, you know, there's that verse in Deuteronomy 28, all the people shall see that you are
called by my
name and shall fear you.
That's exactly
and that's
right.
That's what was going on here mm-hmm. with Abimelech.
Yeah.
You know, he saw that Abraham was blessed of God. That's what happened with the jailer.
Exactly.
And here's Joseph stuck in prison, stuck in the jail, and all of a sudden Pharaoh gets mad at two of his, you know, the
right.
the guy who, the wine taster and the baker,
right,
tosses them in jail. And they both have dreams. Well, they interpret Joseph's dreams, and lo and behold, or Joseph interprets their dreams, lo and behold, they come true. Pharaoh right. has some dreams. The baker says, "Oh, wait a minute," the cupbearer says, "Oh, wait a minute, I'm really bad. I left this guy in jail. He told me about my dreams. Maybe he can tell you about yours." So Pharaoh calls Joseph up exactly. out of prison. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream
right.
to say, "Okay, 7 years of real abundance." And then 7 years of famine. Pharaoh saw that God was with,
amen,
you know, was with Joseph, promoted Joseph to
yes.
be second in command.
Amazing.
Gave Joseph charge over collecting
yes.
all the grain.
All the grain. And that was a great summary. Very good. And so here we are in Genesis 41. And when Pharaoh promoted Joseph, now Joseph being thrown in the pit, being sold into slavery, being falsely accused and being in prison, that whole period of time was 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we are 13 years later and, or actually maybe a little bit more than that. And here we have Pharaoh saying, "I am promoting you because you hear from God."
Right.
"You were able to interpret my dreams, and none of my magicians were able to interpret them." Go ahead.
Well, in Genesis 41:38, "And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?'"
Praise God. Don't you want people to say that about you? Because I want people to say that about me. Okay, there's nobody around that has the Spirit of God living this vibrantly in
right.
them. Because that is what life is all about. It's not about our boats and our cars and our accomplishments and our degrees. It is about, how does the Spirit of God live in you? Does he live big so people can see that and feel that when they come into your presence? Or is God just a little on the back shelf, back burner type thing in your life? Is he really, really that big on the inside of you? And woo, this is huge, because God was huge in Joseph. People felt it. They saw it.
Mm-hmm.
By his
well,
actions.
They could see it in his wisdom,
yes.
and his knowledge, and
yes.
his ability to interpret dreams. But I also think they just saw it in his way of life.
I totally agree.
You know, just, I mean, yeah, it was easy to tell because God kept blessing him. But I think, you know, you talked about this morning, and we'll find out later what happens when his brothers have to come and ask for food.
Right.
I agree with what you said this morning. I believe that he forgave his brothers when they tossed him into the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites.
Right back at the beginning, don't you think?
Right, because otherwise God couldn't have blessed him.
Amen.
Because, you know, we find out in the New Testament, if you don't forgive, then God's not going to forgive you, and God's not going to be able to move.
Absolutely.
If we have bitterness in our heart.
Well, I'm going to run over there because of what you just said, because I think this is a huge point. Mark 11, 22-25, I think is just a wonderful passage of Scripture. Somebody wrote a song about that years ago. It's a kind of a funny song, Mark 11, 24. I'm not going to sing it. I'll just not sing it. But anyway, it's about Mark 11, 22-25. And these are the words of Jesus, starting with verse 22 of Mark 11. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. In fact, in most translations, it's "have the God kind of faith," right?
Right.
"I tell you the truth," this is Jesus' words, "if anyone says to this mountain," now some of you out there have a huge mountain in front of you right now, and God knows you have a mountain. You need to be speaking to your mountain. Jesus said this, "If you speak to your mountain," if anyone says to your mountain, "go throw yourself into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart that what he says he will happen, it will be done for him. In other words, speak to your mountain and believe that when you command your mountain, let's poverty, maybe it's pain, maybe it's emotional trauma, maybe it is, you know, childhood abuse, whatever it could be, it will be done for you if you speak to your mountain and believe. Therefore, these are the words of Jesus in verse 24 of Mark 11. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer." We all know that word, whatever. It's pretty popular these days. Whatever.
Whatever.
"Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And I love verse 25 because this little section, so often it is quoted and people don't go on to verse 25. They just stand on, hey, whatever you believe, speak to your mountain, and they teach that. But verse 25 is critical to your mountain moving. And it is this. Jesus said, and when, not if, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Comment on that. Is relating to Joseph. Like, you go back to that.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it. If we forgive, we'll be forgiven. And the only way to move on with God is to walk in that forgiveness.
Yes.
I mean, all through the New Testament, it's expected of a believer to do that.
Exactly.
And what happened with Joseph was he forgave. And I mean, even
yes.
somewhere in between the time he got tossed into the pit and he ended up at Potiphar's, he'd already forgiven his brothers.
At the journey, it could have happened instantaneously because Joseph had a heart after God.
Right.
That's why God spoke to him in dreams and visions.
Right. He already knew the power of God
yes.
because he'd had those visions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knew that in order to maintain where he was at with God and keep walking with God, he had to forgive.
Absolutely.
And, certainly the scripture does not expressly say he did. But look at, I'm dying to jump ahead.
You go
here.
Right ahead. Do whatever you feel led to do. We don't have a script.
Looking at the outcome of what happened with Joseph and his brothers.
Yes.
He had forgiven them a
already
long time
had,
ago.
Or God would never have opened that door of opportunity
right.
again.
Right.
And I honestly believe, Pastor Jim, you're right on here. I don't believe God would have blessed his life to the degree that he did. Every place he put his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Deuteronomy 28, you were claiming. Every place we put our hand prospers, you know, everything. And so you see that in the life of Joseph. He was not sitting around in prison or in the palace feeling sorry for himself.
Right.
Self-pity is one of our biggest enemies.
Well, and even after, he could have mourned the loss of all this stuff.
His
because
father's
he was,
land, yeah.
Here he was a Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's son, Jacob's favorite son. He could have stayed bitter about that.
Exactly.
But he didn't because you mentioned it this morning. What did he name his children?
Right.
First one, Manasseh. God has made me forget the trials.
And that is in, let's go there a minute so people can see where it is. It's in Genesis 41, starting with verse 50. He had two sons. Born to him before the years of famine came, because Pharaoh gave him an Egyptian wife. And up in verse 45, before we get to the names of his sons, Pharaoh changed Joseph's name. And you are the Hebrew scholar among us, Pastor Jim. Can you pronounce what, actually this is Egyptian, not Hebrew, but
right.
Pharaoh gave Joseph an Egyptian name.
Zaphnath-Paneah.
Okay, and it means
God lives and God speaks.
Yes, that's what it means. And isn't that amazing that that's the name that, you know, the Pharaoh gave Joseph. He didn't give him a name that said, this is a little Hebrew slave. He gave him a name that said God's character.
Well, and amazingly, and I like this.
Ooh,
and I'm getting
fired up, Nan. I'm sorry. I'm just getting wild here. It's just woo.
I'm not taking anything against Daniel and the you know, his three companions. But, you know, because Nebuchadnezzar renamed them and gave them names after pagan gods.
Right.
Well, here it's just God.
Just God.
And I think that's significant.
God speaks and God lives. Wow.
You know, maybe Pharaoh at that point had a little more open heart than Nebuchadnezzar did when he stole the, you know,
yes.
Hebrew youth away from Jerusalem.
Right.
And I think it's very significant. God lives. God speaks.
Wow.
And for Pharaoh to name him that means Pharaoh must have really listened. I mean, we have incidences in the Old Testament where, quote unquote, pagan leaders understood that God, at least the God of the Israelites, the God of the Hebrews, they may not have given up their idolatrous, their polytheistic ways, but they understood
right.
that this God was more powerful. I mean, we've been talking about Nehemiah, and you read through Ezra and Nehemiah, the kings are saying, you know, or, you know, in Daniel, when he was with Cyrus, God
right.
prophesied that Cyrus would set the Israelites free from Babylon. And, you know, you read in Daniel and in Ezra, it's like, oh, wow. Because Daniel went to the king and said, wait a minute. This is what you're supposed to do. And this was prophesied that you'd do this.
Exactly.
And, you know, Cyrus didn't give up all of his pagan ways, but he knew that, I mean, you read the letters, there is a God in Israel.
There's a God in Israel. And Pharaoh had to believe
that
to name Joseph this.
Right. This Pharaoh knew it. A later Pharaoh found out the hard way.
Exactly. The Pharaoh that in Moses' days.
Right. And then Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
Remember Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar found it out.
Mm-hmm.
Belshazzar.
Yeah.
The king regent when Babylon fell. Cyrus. All, you know, God moved in these pagan kings' lives.
Right.
And they did acknowledge, they may not have given up all their pagan ways yet, but they acknowledged the existence of the God of Israel.
Oh, absolutely.
And so did Pharaoh in Joseph's case.
Absolutely. And so Pharaoh says, I'm going to rename you. Your name is God Speaks and God Lives. And so then he gives him an Egyptian wife and they have two children, they're sons. And I love the fact that it's just two. Because two in the Word of God is always talking about covenant relationship. You know, when you get married, there's two people getting married, you know.
Right.
Maybe in some cultures more than two people get married. I don't know. But usually what I think is that two people get married. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So whatever. Anyway, here we go. In the number two in the Word of God always means covenant. It's God and man working together. And so there's two sons that Joseph and his Egyptian wife have. Now we are caught up to where you can tell us the names of the boys and why Joseph named his sons what he did. And if you have just joined us on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, we are in Genesis 41, about verse 50. That's where we are.
Okay. Well, he married Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, and she bore him two sons. The first was named Manasseh, which means making to forget.
Making to forget.
You know, because Joseph said, God made me forget all my hardships. Okay, God made me forget all my hardships.
The pain.
All the pain.
Because, you know, and as I was mentioning this morning, Pastor Jim, God does not take our memory away when we forgive. You know, the old thing of forgive and forget. It's not that you're going to necessarily forget the event. There's a lot of things that have happened to me in my life that I remember the events. But I can also tell you that what happens when we forgive is that somehow the sting of the hurt is lessened to the point that it doesn't hurt when you think about it again. You
somehow,
know what I'm saying? Somehow.
Somehow.
Woo!
Yeah, and it's true because, you know, it was like, well, my sister and brother-in-law came over, so we were talking over old family times. And now, I can talk about, you know, I went through some hurtful times, but they don't hurt anymore.
Right.
The pain's gone. The memory may still be there. Because heaven knows, if God, you know, if every time we forgave, we forgot, half our memories would be gone.
Would be gone.
So,
exactly.
Who are you again?
So to forgive means to release that person
because
from the debt they owe you.
Right, because they can't make it right.
They can't make it right. That doesn't mean that we agree with the thing that was done to us.
Right.
Because so often there have been awful things done to a lot of us in our life, a lot of hurt, maybe abuse of some kind, sexual or emotional.
Right. And we have to realize that the other person can never make that right.
Right. Mm-mm.
The only person that can make it right is Jesus.
Right. So we have to let it go.
Right. And that's what Joseph did. I mean, look. He dreamed the dreams, and we talked about it that one Sunday. He probably should have kept his mouth shut.
He told his brothers
the
dreams.
He told his brothers about his dreams.
But if he had kept his mouth shut, we wouldn't have that confirmation in the Word. So it's good that he did tell them.
Right.
What it did was, a lot of times, now this is a huge point right here, and I know you know this. A lot of times when a prophet of God speaks out what God is saying, And declares, thus saith the Lord, or declares, God has shown me I'm going to be doing this. People get jealous. Mm-hmm. They get, and it causes the junk to rise up, you know, like when they purify gold.
Right.
And somebody may say, well, who do you think you are saying that's going to happen? And that's what happened with Joseph's brothers. Mm-hmm. It showed their true character, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It showed their character. And it came back to haunt them.
Yes, it did.
You know, which is cool because, I mean, just it's just so cool the way the Bible reads. I mean,
it's
you know, obviously
so human.
And I believe so much. You know, I believe that it's God's word, and yet literary. It's so cool because in this story, Joseph has dreams. Joseph goes away to Egypt. They don't even recognize him when they come to get grain.
Right.
They have no idea it's Joseph that they're talking to.
22 years later.
They have no clue. And yet they're bowing down to him. And it says in chapter 42, Joseph remembered his dream.
Yes, he did.
But the neat thing is, I was thinking about it this morning, the neat thing is that's all it says.
Right.
The word doesn't say, Joseph remembered his dreams and snickered at his brothers or felt himself to be higher than his brothers. It's just, oh yeah, God, you did this.
Exactly. It's the attitude with which we remember that.
Yeah.
You know?
He says, God, you did bring this to pass.
Amen.
So that, and you know, think about all that stuff he went through.
Yes.
He could just all of a sudden say, God, you know what? Wow, you did this.
Praise God, you did this. It's only you, God. Only mm-hmm. you could have done this. How powerful is that? So, yes, Joseph had these dreams. He had two separate dreams, which incited his evil brothers to decide to get rid of him. They were planning on killing him, and then they ended up selling him into slavery, where he ended up in Egypt, and then all these wonderful things happened. So our point right now is more than likely Joseph took care of that forgiveness right away.
Right away.
Because he was a man after God's own heart. Joseph is a type of Jesus. He had a mission to accomplish. He was destined to be the deliverer of his generation for God's people.
And he was. He ended up being that.
Oh,
yes. If it hadn't been for Joseph, Judah would have died. And if Judah had died,
absolutely,
there'd be no Jesus.
That's right. Because Jesus came through the line of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So amazing story. Amazing story. So here we are. Now we're back on what Joseph named his sons.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry I got us off track there for a minute.
First son, Manasseh, made to forget. Second one, Ephraim. Fruitful.
Fruitful. Double portion.
Like, yeah, it's like, okay, you made me forget all the hardship, and guess what? You've doubly blessed me.
Amen.
So I'm going to name my second kid Ephraim.
Woo! Yes. In other words, I let go of the past and I move forward into this mm-hmm. double anointing and into all the blessings that you have for me. And dear listeners, that is where we have to get to, because I have known too many people in my few years here on this planet and that I've been around that absolutely harbor resentment and bitterness. In fact, I said this morning, and I did not go on with that, but Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, remember in the book of Ruth.
Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara.
Yeah, call me bitter. You know, yeah. I used to, when I taught the book of Ruth once, I called her a bitter old bag. And that's what happens so often. Not a nice term for Naomi, but, you know, that is what happens so often with people who feel that so many bad things have happened to them. That they can't see the forest for the trees anymore, well, you know?
And Naomi's a perfect point, a perfect example there, because the
book
same thing happened to her. In the book of Ruth, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, decides to take her and the two boys over to Moab because there was famine in Bethlehem.
Right.
So they all go, they pack up, they move to Moab. The two boys marry Moabite women. Both the boys died. And oddly enough, those boys were named Pining and Sickness.
Yes.
Now, who are you going to name? Why would you name your children Pining Away
Chilion
and Sickness?
And Malon? Malon and Chilion?
Okay. Malon and Chilion.
Okay, there we go. I can pronounce them right.
Those
were the names of the
anyway.
Boys. They
Pining Away and Sickness.
And, of course, they both died.
Yeah, they both died.
Right.
So Ruth heard there was food, and so the two daughter-in-laws now follow her. And, of course, everybody
Oprah.
Knows Oprah.
Oh,
Oprah. I know. That's well. That was.
I didn't mean to say Oprah. I meant to say Orpah.
Well, but you know, I understand that's Oprah's grandmother, mother, whatever.
Her name
got
was.
Got that mixed up.
She got it mixed up. Right. It was supposed to be Orpah.
I heard that somewhere.
I heard that too. Yeah. So.
And the other, of course, was Ruth. Yeah. And Orpah, of course, goes back. Ruth says, "No, don't beg me to leave you."
She stayed with.
Story. She stayed with Naomi.
Naomi bitter
gets
old
back.
Bag.
Yeah, Naomi gets back there. And, you know, Naomi's feeling real sorry for herself. And
right.
The women say, "Oh, Naomi, you're back. Hooray." Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant.
Right.
"Call me Mara," which means bitter.
Yes.
Because the hand of the Lord has been bitter against me or something, some other nonsense.
So
like
she
that.
Was stuck in her old bitterness and resentment because of the things that had happened to her.
And yet if those things hadn't happened.
There you go. That's my point.
If those things hadn't happened.
That's getting good.
Ruth would not have met Boaz.
That's right.
Would not have married Boaz.
And would not
and
have
would not
been.
And would not have been the great-grandmother of King David.
Of
and
exactly
a,
right.
And a an ancestor of Jesus.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, that's.
It's just too
and,
cool.
And it's so
too
cool
good.
Because, you know, Naomi did take back her name at
right.
the end of the book because
right.
The son was laid upon, you know, she got to hold her grandchild and it's like, you know, she took, in a sense,
Obed.
Took back, Obed, took back her own name.
Yeah.
You know, she gave up being bitter and said how much God had blessed her.
And so often, Pastor Jim, and this is a lesson for all of us, so often we get mired down, like stuck in the mud, you know, of the past hurt. You know, I think I mentioned recently that, I forget what year it was, but it seems like it was like 1988 or 1989 in Indiana. I got stuck 14 times that winter in my own driveway. We had a big old, you know, Ford, you know, great big van, you know, and it didn't have much weight in the back. And I remember every time a big snowstorm would come, I'd get stuck in my own driveway. I could not get out of my own driveway. And so often... That's why I moved to Florida. So often we get stuck in our own situations and we can't seem to get out of the mud and the muck right. of our own things. And some of it is our things of our own making. You know, it's right. our situations of our own making sometimes. But God is always faithful that when we have a heart after God and we say, God, I love you. I want to serve you. And God, I don't like some of this stuff that's happened to me. And I certainly don't understand it. But Lord, I refuse to dwell there in that bitter place. And I'm going to move forward into all that you have for me. And it's amazing what God does.
Amen. Amen.
And God causes all things to work together for good.
For those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Romans 8:28. And we have got to go with that or get stuck in the bitterness and the resentment of the past.
Well, yeah. And you know, there's so many examples like Naomi and Joseph in the Bible. Job, a whole book.
Right.
You know, written about Job and what he went through or... Or for that matter, even David, when
yeah.
Absalom, his son, rebelled against
yes,
him.
Yes, his own son tried to
his
take over
son,
the kingdom.
Yeah, his own son tried to usurp David's throne.
Right.
You know, another thing I like about the Bible, it's just great. It doesn't sugarcoat things.
Tells you about
all.
Human nature, doesn't
it? Well, and the thing with Absalom is that was a direct result of David's sin with Bathsheba.
Right.
You know, God,
consequences to sin.
Right, and that was a consequence. And, you know, David understood that. And through it all, he still loved Absalom.
Absolutely.
You know, he still loved him. And just, but we see on the other end, David was blessed. He had Solomon.
Right.
Who built the temple.
Right. Amazing.
You know? Oh.
Well, and going back to the names that Joseph named his sons. Okay, God's made me forget. I let it go. I let go of the past. Mm-hmm. And then the second son is Ephraim, you know, doubly fruited, you know, all prosperity, basically. And that was Joseph looking to the future and saying, here, God, I know you're going to fulfill the right. promises that you have given me. And so often, dear friends, we get stuck in the junk of the past, and we never move into all the abundance that God has for us because we're just stuck back there being resentful, full of self-pity. We think so-and-so reminds us of a bully we once knew, and we get into a thing of resentment and towards somebody else when maybe they didn't even do anything to us, right. But they remind us of somebody who did.
I've been there, done that.
Woo! Do you have a comment? I can tell. Yeah,
I'm not on the show today, but
now you are.
No, I am for a second. talking about forgiveness.
Yes.
What happened to me this morning at Beacon was interesting. That was a topic, kind of, and at prayer time, it was like, you have unforgiveness. The Lord was speaking to me. You have unforgiveness. And I'm like, this is not logical because I went to the Blue Line several weeks ago and I put all that down. And he said, you haven't forgiven yourself.
Ooh.
And I was like, I haven't. Really? And all of a sudden, he brought some specific things to mind immediately.
Wow. Praise
and I'm like,
God.
Oh, so then I sat there and I was like, well, I don't know if I can let go. I wouldn't. I just sat there and I was praying. I said, God, I don't understand. I don't know that I can do this. And it was like, he gave me this visual. You know, the little play school things that the kids used to bang the toy thing. You know what I'm talking about, Pastor Jim. And he showed me a cylinder. Like, he showed me, like, my heart. And he showed, like, there's this cylinder, just to give a visual, cylinder of unforgiveness for yourself.
Mm.
Now, the heart puts the blood out throughout the whole rest of the body. And it can affect. If something happens to your blood, it can affect you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this spiral around, like, of unforgiveness in you. You need to push that out. You need to turn it over to me.
Mm.
And then it's going to leave this hole through your heart of where the cylinder was. And coming behind it is forgiveness.
Woo.
And I was like, oh. Wow. And then I still had to decide to turn it over.
Sure.
But I did.
Still your will.
I did.
Yeah. Still your free will.
Thank you, Dan.
It was my will.
Praise God. That is a great, great. Ooh, that's great. Through everything that we go through in this life, God is always faithful.
I was going to say, I feel a segue coming on.
Isn't it? I mean, great is thy faithfulness. Vestal Goodman. I mean, wow, what a woman of God. Connie teases me about singing like Vestal. I'd love to be able to sing like Vestal. Vestal's with the Lord now, waving her handkerchief. Yes. Vestal Goodman and the Newsboys. Great is thy faithfulness.
Oh,
Praise God. Woo! I've never heard that rendition.
I haven't either. That was great. I like the Newsboys and
Vestal.
There's just nobody that could ever compare with Vestal.
And she was Mrs. Goodman from the Happy Goodmans quartet years ago. Not a quartet, it's a family. And great. We're going to meet her in heaven. And Vestal, wow. She sang that. Wow, we are living the good life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor Jim, we are talking about the faithfulness of God. God never left Joseph. Never, never, never left that guy.
No matter how. It didn't matter the situation that he was in. And symbolically, metaphorically speaking.
Metaphorically speaking.
You know, we all sometimes find ourselves in places we don't want to be. Like,
sure.
You know. Even though it was a nice house, it was still Egypt.
Right.
You know, I mean,
he wasn't home with his brothers and his family.
When he was even sold, it was in Potiphar's house. I'm sure that was a nice house because Potiphar was a high official, but it wasn't where it wasn't home.
Right.
And then even worse, he gets pitched in prison. And so often we feel ourselves to be in prison.
Right.
And the encouragement here is that God was with Joseph just in the same way he is with us. And he can still use us. He can still bless us, even if we think we're in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Psalm says he loves those who are his captives, who are the prisoners.
Yes.
You know?
He wants us to be prisoners of his.
Yes. And even, you know, even if we see ourselves in a prison, even of our own making.
Right.
God can still, right then and there, if we submit to him, use us in that place and bless us and use us to bless others.
Absolutely, which is exactly what happened.
And set us free from prison.
Absolutely. And so you said earlier that what happened in Genesis 41, 42 is that the interpretations of the dreams that Joseph gave the cupbearer and the baker eventually paid off in that the cupbearer, who was restored to his position, eventually said to Pharaoh, I know a person who can interpret your dreams. And he hears from God. And so Pharaoh called Joseph, and that was back in 41, I believe. And he brought Joseph in, and he said, I've had these dreams. I have these seven cows and then seven.
They had seven heads of grain.
Right, seven heads of grain. Go ahead.
Seven well-fed cows eaten up by seven very gaunt cows.
Right.
Seven nice heads of wheat, of grain, or ears of corn, eaten up by seven other rotten little ears of corn.
Exactly.
And, you know, Pharaoh wondered what that meant. And, of course, on this side, having read it so many times, it's like, well, how could you not know this?
I know, but evidently just more obscure to them. It does seem easy these days, but because we've heard the story so often. Since we were kids, remember the flannel graph where you would take and they would put the little figures up on the flannel graph when we were in Sunday school as kids?
And this just came to me. It had to be the Spirit of God moving in Pharaoh. I mean, we know he didn't live in Pharaoh because that didn't happen until till after Jesus died. But the Spirit must have moved upon him and given him wisdom, because all Joseph said was seven good years, seven bad years. You had the dream twice. It's a certainty.
Right. That's all he said.
That's all he said. The seven good years, this just hit me, hadn't even started yet.
Right.
So just the Spirit that was in Joseph, you know, the Holy Spirit moved in Joseph.
He had to be speaking it confidently and boldly, don't you think?
Because, you know, again, Pharaoh said,
we
find him by like this. He's got the Spirit of God in him.
Recognize the Spirit of God.
Right.
That's the point. People have got to recognize the Spirit of God within us. And if they're not recognizing that, we need to be spending more time in prayer and praise and get to that place where people do recognize the Spirit of God within us.
Because nothing had happened yet. The seven good years certainly hadn't started.
Right.
Certainly not the seven bad years.
Right.
Joseph just said, look, this is going to happen. It's going to happen soon. We need to do this, this, and this.
Right.
Pharaoh was so overwhelmed that's when he promoted Joseph and gave Joseph free rein to do what needed to happen.
It obviously, the interpretation bore witness, quote unquote, with Pharaoh. It must have rung true. That's another way to say it. It must have seemed right. Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, and guys, there are times in our lives where The Spirit of God is so strong in us that people come to us for prayer. They come to us for ministry. They call us on the phone, and I just need to hear your voice. I need you to pray for me right now. I need this, and I need
the praise team to sing a song.
Yeah, that happened this morning, didn't it? Yeah, I was ministering to somebody in Indiana and beginning to pray, but you guys were practicing how great is our God, and it just was, I knew that if you could just sing to my friend that it would change how she felt, and so that's what we did. I took my phone up there, and you sang two songs to her, and it was just incredible, amazing, amazing move of God, because you recognize the anointing. Right. You recognize the Spirit of God. That's why we start every show with that song, The River of God's Anointing, because it is all about God's presence. And God's presence was so strong in Joseph that people saw it. Mm-hmm. The cupbearer and the baker saw it. The head jailer saw it. Potiphar saw it. His wife saw it. Everybody saw it. Potiphar saw it. I mean, Pharaoh saw it. Everybody saw there was something different about this young man, mm-hmm. Joseph.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Oddly enough, though, the only people who didn't see it were his brothers.
His brothers.
Yeah.
See, you know why? Why didn't his brothers see it? Because they were evil. They had evil intent in their hearts. They were full of jealousy.
Right. And by this time, I think...
Oh, that's a huge point, Pastor Jim.
They were beyond the jealousy,
I'm getting fired up.
At this point. They were guilty. Yeah.
Here they are beyond the jealousy. But back when they threw him in the pit, they were so full of jealousy.
Right.
And that is such a huge point. Because jealousy will short-circuit you hearing from God every day of the week.
Well, and so does guilt, because that's what they were feeling when they came to get the grain from Joseph, when Jacob, their father, sent them to Egypt.
Right.
The 7 good years were long gone. We're now like 2 years into the famine.
Yeah.
And Jacob says, why are y'all standing around here? I hear there's food in Egypt.
Right.
And of course, Joseph
That's
didn't...
That's the beginning of chapter 42 of Genesis, if you're following along with us.
Yeah, of course, Joseph wasn't going by his Hebrew name, Joseph. He was going by...
God speaks and God lives.
Yeah, that's the name he was going by, his Egyptian name.
Right.
He would have looked different because Egyptians normally didn't have big beards.
Clean shaven.
He would have had a headdress.
Just like on the Ten Commandments,
The Ten Commandments...
Yeah, I'm thinking what Moses looked like in the palace.
In the
was
palace.
Like that.
Right.
Clean shaven and a turban and whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way they looked.
So, plus, Joseph had had plenty of time to study the Egyptian language. Apparently, he spoke without an accent, which was a good thing. He had an interpreter who knew Hebrew, so they had no idea. Plus, I mean, all these years had passed.
22 years.
So they had no idea that this was their long-lost brother. And, what happens is Joseph accuses them as being spies, puts them in jail for how many days, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Three days.
And how long was
Jonah in the welly of the bale?
Mm. Oh, you can say it. Oh, Nan, why is he laughing? Tell him what happened.
You were so excited into your preaching and just... The Spirit of the Lord was pouring out of you so quickly that you just stumbled over some words, that's all.
And I can't even say it now. What was it?
Well, Jonah was in the bale of the welly.
The bale of the welly is what I said this morning. And then I couldn't seem to say it right after that.
Right.
And it just seemed to, that's what it was, the bale of the welly. Right. Wow.
But Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Jesus
was
in the belly of the earth, in the bowels of the earth for 3 days.
Right.
Before the resurrection. So I think that's a significant number.
Mm.
And then, he brings them out. He demands that one of them stay behind because they opened their mouths and happened to say they had another brother, even though Joseph already knew it. So Joseph said, well, I'll let you go, but to prove to me you aren't spies, you have to come back with this youngest brother, which was, Joseph's full brother, Benjamin.
Right.
And they held Simeon.
Yes.
Held Simeon captive. Well, and, Reuben talking, I told you this is all happening to us because of what we did to the boy, to Joseph.
Right,
this is all coming down on us because of what we did.
Simeon was very, he had a very murderous type character. You remember the whole story with Dinah back a few chapters?
Him and Levi.
He and Levi got into big trouble there. And Simeon, many commentaries, I was looking at a couple of them yesterday, and they said it is very likely that Simeon is the one who threw Joseph into the pit, because it would be so like God for that very person to suffer more because of what the consequences of his actions.
Well, and, you know, then Joseph does a double whammy, puts their money that they paid for the grain back in their bags.
I never got to that today. Never got there.
You know, I mean, imagine. I mean, so the brothers are terrified.
Right.
They still, they have no idea this is Joseph. They're terrified. They think, well, why is this money here? They're, he's going to think we stole this stuff.
Right.
And our brother Simeon is in jail in Egypt. He's demanding we bring Benjamin. And of course, Jacob's, you know, Jacob says, no way, that's my, you know, that's my baby now.
Right.
I'm not giving him up to you guys.
Woo, boy, we got more to talk about in the next hour. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're in Clearwater, Florida. We are in our 11th year as a ministry. We celebrated our 10-year anniversary. Yeah. Yeah, in October. That was exciting. And we have, through the years, had various forms of the ministry there for a period of time. It was, we were big into the CDs. And on our website, you could get a lot of my sermons on the CDs. And, you know, it's kind of cool. We don't talk about this a lot, but for a period of years, we sent out over 30,000 CDs. That's a lot of CDs
that were
mailed out or given out at different festivals and so forth. That was a lot of the word that went out. And now our medium of getting the word out is this radio show. And we are in our fifth year on this radio show. And you can go and hear past shows. Mm-hmm. Go straight to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And we've got shows from the last couple of years in entirety, like the whole 2 hours. We have a huge capacity on our server, and we just keep putting more shows on our website so that you can go back and hear the word. This is really our evening service, our Sunday evening service. Nan, you've called it that many times, our Sunday evening service. That's what this is. And Bill, you're the one that's made that possible, because you are able to get it now to the point digitally that you can email me the show right after it's over, can't you?
We can rebuild his mind, and he will send it digitally.
You're just crazy in there.
He's Elroy.
He's Elroy the traffic boy. Yes, he's Elroy the traffic boy. Some of you may remember old Elroy the traffic boy on Joy FM, and that was this guy, our engineer.
Thank you,
Bill. And so, Bill, we are grateful that
How's the book doing?
It's fine. You know, we've just seen so many. I've got to send out more this week. We've had more requests. I have got to get them sent, but we're now in what's the name of it? Barnes & Noble. You can order it online. You can order it Amazon.com. And, of course, we have it on our website, which is Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, which is the story of my daughter who did complete her 22-month prison sentence, has also come off of house arrest this week.
Yay.
And so this is huge. Yeah, we need an applause there. Yeah. Because Lori has, she's accomplished a lot. She was a drug addict and alcoholic, mostly drugs, for about 20 years. And God has done a mighty thing. Putting her in prison was a wonderful thing. And at the time, it seemed awful. And my book recounts how I felt. I started writing it the day of the prison sentence. So it's huge. And Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. You can just get on our website, order it, and we will pay for the postage and handling. And
kind of like Joseph.
Yes, in a lot of ways.
There was a video online of a surfer and a kayaker, and that big whale that came up and almost swallowed them both. You've never seen that?
No.
It's on Yahoo.
Okay.
Check it out.
So that reminded you of Jonah, reminded you of that, right?
That's right.
Well, I wondered where your train of thought came from.
And I'm glad that you always bring that book.
Yeah.
Because the Lord says, listen up.
It's a really good book, especially for people, and I say that even though I wrote it as the mama. But, you know, there's so many times that people are going through issues with a family member, a relative, a friend with drug addiction, and this book will help you. You can contact, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, just get a hold of us on our, just write me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll get you a book. And they're cheaper through us than they are on Amazon. So anyway, station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Praise God, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. A little hoarse from, I guess, just preaching and shouting and singing. What do you think, Nan? I don't know. You want to comment here for a couple minutes?
Are you trying to say you get excited when you preach and
do
sing?
Do I?
Oh,
is that
boy,
it?
Oh, boy, do you get excited.
Yes, you know, praise God. There is just so much to be excited
there
about
is.
Because God is changing lives. People are walking in and receiving truth, and their lives are turning around. You know what I'm saying? Comment.
Their lives are being changed. I mean, we can see lives. I can see where my life has been changed. I've only been in the church a year, and my life has changed a lot. I'm seeing people come in that are new to the church, and their lives, I mean, it just, you know, wonderful things are happening in their lives because they're turning their lives over to the Lord and because they're yielding to Him and what He would have them to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Amen.
And I'm just excited about that, you know? So, yeah, I just to get carried away, I guess, sometimes. But thank God for the Word. Where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives, that's what our shirts say, and well, that's what we believe.
Well, if I had a pastor that wasn't excited about the Word, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be there.
Okay.
Because I want the Word to be delivered with excitement, because God is exciting. I mean,
yes.
He is so cool.
He
is just so cool, and the anointing is so strong on you when you're preaching that it's just totally awesome.
It's amazing.
Just totally awesome.
It's totally amazing. Praise God for that. It's a matter of stirring that up within us and saying, God, I want to be that vessel. Pastor Jim, you are teaching the most wild, wonderful series right now on Wednesday nights, Boot Camp Basics. It's so good. Everybody's loving it. It's the basics of this week. It's water baptism. Last week, it was faith. Before that, it was repentance from dead works. Mm-hmm. And just the basics is so good. You know, what we believe, why the Bible is the Word of God.
Right.
You did a whole series on that. And it's just great. Wednesday nights, we invite people to come and join us. Do you want to comment on that series?
Well, yeah, basing most of it out of Hebrews chapter 6, where the writer of Hebrews talks about, you know, moving on past the first things, the elementary, the first words. And that's, you know, all the doctrines about, or the teachings about, you know, water baptism, spirit baptism, well, you know, repentance from dead
laying
works,
on
faith
of hands.
Toward God's instructions about washings or baptisms, laying on of hands, then we'll move into, you know, eternal judgment.
Yes.
And prophecy.
I'll talk about that. It's
going
to be cool.
Talk about prophecy, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because this week's water baptism, so I'm all fired up.
Yeah, that's great. And you and I have baptized, and of course some of our elders that were there helping us this summer. We baptized 18 or 19 people this summer in two different occasions in the Dunedin waterways right there off of the causeway. Wasn't that fun, Nan?
Oh, that was fantastic.
And even Bay News Night, and you did too. You were there. You were one of them.
I want to say about Wednesday night service, you know, Pastor Jim, he just does an awesome
day.
He's so anointed. There again, the anointing, it just seems to flow through our church.
Right.
And he's so anointed. And I've been raised in church all my life. I am learning so much, Pastor Jim, from what you bring. And I appreciate it. And we can walk away
Amen.
With the knowledge we receive. He does wonderful handouts. You know, we can take notes on those handouts. It's already information on the handouts too. And that is so beneficial for me because I can look back over it and refresh my memory of what you have shared with us. And you're so open to us to allow us to even ask questions if we have. I have questions sometimes. And you, I know.
Sometimes, Dan?
Sometimes. And you don't mind any one of them.
Absolutely.
And I thank you for that. I thank you for that.
That's
Pastor
great.
Jim.
7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's why I encourage people to ask questions because I can tend to talk somewhere out in left field. And
well,
you're
rather scholarly, and we admit it and tease you about it, but you are very versed in the Scripture, and you have an education in that degree.
But I encourage the questions because I'd rather spend time answering one question and make sure that you understand what it is what I'm trying to teach than me just teaching and teaching and teaching. And you're not getting.
Right.
I'd rather you get a, you know, even if one part. I want to make sure everybody takes away one part.
Mm, we love it. It's great. So we welcome you Wednesday nights at 7, and prayer meeting starts at 6:15. Listen to this great Casting Crown song, Glorious Day, and they're in concert Friday night at Idlewild Baptist.
One day when heaven his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer.
Song. Woo! We are talking about the life of Joseph here in Genesis chapter 42. And you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're glad you've joined us. And, you know, we just welcome you to email us if you have any comments or questions as we are going through the show. Or if you just want to say that Pastor Jim looks cute, you can do that. You can just email pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. That's my email. Pastor Jim's is pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. So those are our email addresses for any of you that want to contact us in any way. We are in Genesis 42, and we're talking about mercy, Pastor Jim, because Joseph could have, when he saw his brothers, said, I want these 10 guys thrown into the deepest dungeon. I want them to suffer like I suffered. I want them to go without nice food and clothes. I want them to miss their wives and children. I want them to miss their daddy. I want them to suffer like they made me suffer. And you know, Pastor Jim, that is the feeling of a lot of people when they have been wronged.
Right. Exactly. He could have done that, and that would have shown... I think this was a test for Joseph as well. I mean, we know the brothers get tested through this because, you know, Joseph does some things to them to find out what's in the brothers' hearts and if they've actually are really sorry for what they did. But I think God used this to show Joseph what was in his own heart, because Joseph could have said, it's my brothers, And then all he had to do was think back to all that, all the teasing, all the torment, all, them throwing him in the pit, you know.
You know, Pastor Jim, recently I was ministering to somebody who said that they just can't let go of all of the stuff that happened to them as a child. Basically, they were bullied and they were put down and they were made fun of and they were treated mean and whatever. And, you know, we have to do that. We have to come to terms with our past. We have to. We don't have a choice.
Because if we don't, we're going to stay stuck there.
We will be stuck in the mud, you know, like I was in my driveway in the snow.
Exactly. I mean, and I've been there. And I know you'll probably laugh, but there was a certain neighborhood, you know, the guy in the neighborhood that used to call me Lard Belly Lead Bottom, because I have never been thin. Okay, let's just put
Lard Belly Lead Bottom. And no, we will not repeat that, will we, Nan?
It was horrible.
I don't remember.
I don't remember it either.
But I mean,
that's an awful name.
And I've never been thin. And, you know, I got teased a lot about that. And I was made to do things, you know, I didn't want to do, like beating sports and crap. Sorry,
That's all right.
And, you know, and yet I had to make a decision just to let that go.
Yeah.
I'm not a sportsy kind of guy.
Right.
Never have been, never will be.
Yeah.
You know, this side of the rapture, I'm probably not going to be skinny. Okay. let's just settle that once and for all. But, you know, I had to let go of that because otherwise I'd stay stuck in it.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I've forgiven the people that I had. I mean, and it's a conscious thing I had to do. I had to consciously forgive. And I had to name them. I forgive so-and-so for this. I forgive so-and-so for that.
That means just letting it go. They don't owe you anymore.
They don't owe me anything.
And you don't have to agree with what they did
to you.
And
obviously, I can't change it.
Right.
It's in the past.
Right.
I can't change it. And, you know, I used to always, I remember as a kid, I'd mope around, kind of like what your mother would say, I know when I'm not wanted, you know,
right.
And you're feeling sorry for myself.
Well, my mother used to say, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'll go eat worms.
Right. It's same
nice
thing.
Poem.
Yeah, it's kind of the same sort of thing. You have to let go of that.
You got to let go of it.
You know, because otherwise you're just going to be bound up and stuck, and Satan is going to use
It's the self-pity party that the devil uses in our lives to keep us bound up. And I love 1 John 3:8, where Jesus came to undo. That word in the Greek is
undo.
It's undo. It's luo, L-U-O, and it means to loose and untie. Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. The works of the devil, dear listener, are to keep you back in the former day, to keep you back in the past, to have you living it over and over again, how you were mistreated and made fun of or bullied or whatever the case may be.
And there's somebody out there, I just really feel it in my spirit, who's saying at this moment, yeah, but you don't know what I went through. You're absolutely right. We don't know what you went through. But there's somebody who does, and he went through it in your place.
Absolutely.
And that's Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we sang it this morning. He was wounded for my transgressions.
Yes.
Crushed.
Yes.
Crushed for my iniquities. The chastisement that brought our peace, our wholeness, was upon him, and
right.
By his stripes we are healed.
Amen. Oh, you know, so often kids that are a little different from the norm, you know, maybe a weight problem, maybe a boy who doesn't like sports. That's a good example. Maybe a girl who is extremely athletic, like I was, or whatever the case may be. Those sometimes, in my situation in Central America, that was normal. All of us we played baseball every day. That's what we did. But in some circles, being a tomboy, my sister Karen called me today and we were talking. She was reading some old letters that my dad had written in Central America when we were missionaries growing up, and to my grandparents, and we now have those letters. And she was reading me as I was driving, and she was saying how Dad said that when we moved to Central America, my favorite baseball bat and my glove got in the missionary barrel and it went on to another location. And so he had to replace it because I was so unhappy without my baseball bat and my glove.
Imagine that.
Can you imagine that? I don't know. But you see, sometimes, and she was laughing at me and saying, see, you're always like this, you know, and it's sometimes the way we grow up with certain kids in the neighborhood or certain kids at school or relatives or past relationships or marriages that have not worked out have left scars mm-hmm. on us emotionally. And we are the ones that must deal with those scars. We are the ones that must forgive and let go.
Right, right. I mean, we read it earlier. Jesus and Paul calls us to forgive one another, even as Christ, even Amen. As God in Christ has forgiven us.
Absolutely.
And if we expect to walk in God's forgiveness, we have to be able to forgive.
We have to.
And again, the point is made. Joseph couldn't change what happened to him. He couldn't, and his brother certainly could not undo
yes.
what happened. But he chose to forgive, and he chose to move on.
And we know he had to have done that a long time ago before the brothers ever showed up.
Well, because then he wouldn't have been blessed in Potiphar's house and
exactly.
would not have been blessed in jail.
Because it's not that God doesn't want to bless you when you have unforgiveness. It's that it's the kind of like the law of gravity. You know, if I go up on the top of this radio station right now and jump off, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall down. It's called gravity. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to just be suspended in midair. You know, it's just part of it. And that's the same with forgiveness, with unforgiveness. It does a certain thing because of the nature of the unforgiveness. It creates pockets of bitterness
right.
and resentment. And it's just like if you are exposed, let's say, to a very dangerous flesh-eating virus, okay? If you're exposed to that flesh-eating virus and you don't do anything about it and you go, oh, gosh, there's a flesh-eating virus sitting on my hand, and you just let it stay there and you go, oh, I wonder what it's going to do. Well, I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to crawl up your mouth or your mouth. Your arm is going to eat your arm, and then it's going to eat this and it's going to eat that, right? And it's the same thing with unforgiveness. It's like that flesh-eating virus.
Yeah.
I know that's an unusual metaphor.
Well, but, we enjoy...
Great point.
We enjoy those metaphors.
We never know what they're going to be right. doing.
Well, Jesus made the point in one of the parables, you know, about the slave that owed his master millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah,
an amount
right.
that he could never pay. And the ruler just said, okay, I forgive you.
Sure.
All gone.
All gone.
All gone. And then this slave went out, met one of his fellow servants who just owed him, you know, $100.
Yeah.
A few hundred denarius.
Yeah.
You know,
wasn't very much money.
Wasn't even a full year's pay, uh-uh. you know. And, you know, that slave asked the first slave who had been forgiven for mercy, for forgiveness, to have him forgive the debt. And, you know, of course, that slave didn't do it. And when the master found out, he said, couldn't you have forgiven him like I forgave you?
Right.
And, you know, and Jesus, you know, the guy was, one slave was thrown into prison. And Jesus
yeah.
said, so will your heavenly Father
yes.
deal with you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
From your heart. It's one thing with your head to say, okay, I choose to forgive, but it's got to work its way down into your heart.
And because,
go ahead. He's excited about this point.
Well, think about it. Your heart, the seat of your emotions. Looking at Joseph.
Right.
If it had been like head forgiveness, like if it just been, yeah, all right, whatever, I forgive him. When he saw his brothers, don't you think it would have said, and Joseph shuddered.
To think of what they had done to him.
Because the Bible, you know, the Bible doesn't. It
right.
didn't mince words.
Right.
You know, it would have just said, okay, and then God smacked Joseph and said, you need to forgive him. But it did,
yeah.
does that. It's just, again, Joseph saw, recognized his brothers. And what did he do? He kept having to leave the room because he kept crying.
He kept crying because
he was so happy to see them.
And we do it by faith. Okay, mm-hmm. We don't feel it, perhaps. You know, remember the little train back in Campus Crusade? You and I were both in Campus Crusade for years. And the little chick tracks.
Yes, our little four spiritual laws track. Had the little train with
fact,
faith, and then feelings.
Feelings. Because a lot of times the feelings are at the caboose.
Right.
And it's like at the end of the thing and you begin to change your feelings about those people. But first it starts with the facts. I choose to forgive.
Right.
By faith.
And I do it by faith.
By faith.
And then the feelings will come.
They will.
And I'm reminded, and it's one of my favorite, I love Corrie Ten Boom. I actually got to see her when she was still living.
Oh,
before,
wow.
Before her movie, The Hiding Place, came out in like 1975, I got to see her in person.
Was she at Ball State?
No, she was in Newcastle, actually.
Because I saw her, too.
Yeah, she was
maybe we were at the same place.
It could have been. It was like some big auditorium.
Yeah, it
maybe
was. I think it was the gym.
The gym at Newcastle High School.
Yeah, that's where,
See?
Yeah.
Amazing how our paths kept crossing.
And who knew we were in place at that time?
And you know, I just loved Corrie
Yeah,
Ten
she
Boom.
Was amazing, The Hiding Place.
There's a story in her book, Tramp for the Lord, which takes place after The Hiding Place, on about her world journeys. She was in Germany, and she was up there talking about forgiveness. And, okay, I'll tell you, as from the pastor's standpoint, be careful what you preach on.
Got to live it.
Because here she was preaching forgiveness, and you know, her sister Betsy's dream about how they were going to minister forgiveness to all these people. Well, this man comes up afterwards, and all of a sudden she looks at him, talk about transference. She's back in the concentration camp.
Yes.
She remembers this man as one of the guards who used to leer over the women while they were trying to take their showers and stuff, and really mistreated the women prisoners. And he came up to her and said, how wonderful it is, Fraulein, to think that, as you say, God forgives me, that I'm cleansed, I'm white as snow. And he held out his hand, and in the book, Corey said, I couldn't. She said, I couldn't even make my hand go up. And she had to pray, Lord, I can't do this, but you can.
You can, by faith.
Forgive, help me to forgive him through you. And she stuck, you know, and she just, all right, whatever, stuck out her hand, you know. And then she did that by faith, and then the feelings came. She felt that forgiveness for this prison guard.
Oh, beautiful segue into Where There Is Faith by For Him.
Call in, keep walking. You're not alone in this.
Praise God. That's a great song, Connie. I love that song by the group For Him, Where There Is Faith. Woo! Nan is our poet who does know it. So, Nan, what did God give you there a little while
ago? A little bit earlier in the show, he gave me a poem regarding forgiveness. And the first two verses are like from God to the person, and the third one is basically their prayer back to God.
Okay.
Extend forgiveness to that person who has done wrong unto you. The unforgiveness will eat you up. I will help you to forgive. This you can do. You will remember what occurred, but the sting will go away. Look to me for the necessary strength. I will help you now. Call out to me. Pray. Then the prayer. By faith, I will forgive so-and-so and also myself. Give me the freedom that is available to me. I will share with others what you've done. I will move forward knowing I am free. Lord, I just want to be free.
Oh, that is really good.
That is so good.
Just write me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll have Nan send you a copy of that poem. Wow, that's great. We are talking about Genesis 42 and forgiveness, and Joseph forgiving his brothers.
Well, and I was going to say, the prayer is a faith declaration.
It really is a faith declaration. Yeah. That's very good, Nan. Thank you for sharing that. Pastor Jim, it's by faith we forgive. We may not feel it, but the feelings will eventually come. But the thing that you said in the poem, Nan, is the sting leaves.
Sting goes away.
And so when we think of that incident, we don't just burst into tears. Or we don't just go into depression.
Right.
Or hide out.
Or we don't have the hate, the bile of hate rising up within us.
Instead, we know that we have let it go.
Right.
Even though we may remember it, we've let it go.
Right.
And the brothers came to visit Joseph because they had to have food, and Jacob sent them. And we see that Joseph ended up putting them in prison for 3 days and then sending them back home. But he kept Simeon.
Kept Simeon.
And he said, bring Benjamin back. Go ahead.
Well, because in his way of testing them, because he wanted to find out if they had changed, and he said, he accused them of being spies. And which is why they freaked when they found their money in the bag. You know, that Joseph had returned their money, which is really cool on Joseph's part. He could have at least kept their money, but he didn't.
But what is that? That speaks of mercy to me.
That's so forgiving. That's
so forgiving.
You know what? You're my family. I don't charge my family for those things. And so, you know, and they start to say it, you know, about how, you know, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us and we didn't listen. This is why distress has come upon us. That's in
Verse 21.
Genesis
42.
You know, the brothers began to realize, okay, this happened because we made some really bad choices. And I ain't talking karma here. I'm talking about a law of God.
A law of God.
Which says, the law of reaping and sowing. What you sow is what you're going to reap. They sowed all of this distress to Joseph, and that's what they reaped back upon themselves.
Absolutely.
So, but they're beginning to come to a realization of this, although they have to go home and face their father,
right,
and tell him, okay, you know how Joseph died. And we went into Egypt, and now they're holding Simeon. And I also want Benjamin to come with us this next time.
And Jacob just lost it. He goes, you got to be kidding. I'm not letting go of my little boy,
Benjamin.
I've lost
Joseph.
Yeah. Of course,
he
didn't know Joseph was the emperor here in Egypt.
Right.
He just thought he was gone and dead. And
yeah, he said, I've lost Joseph. I've lost Simeon.
Right.
I'm not about to give you Benjamin. Well, you know, this is only like 2 years into the famine.
Right. Another year, the commentaries say.
Yeah, another year, and they had no choice. They had
to go back. So Simeon probably stayed there in prison that year. We don't know that for a fact.
Right.
But probably he did. There's no account that Joseph just let Simeon out, because the deal was Simeon stays until you bring Benjamin back.
Right.
So more than likely he stayed in prison.
So it's at least a year. And Simeon, of course, I think being in prison, still didn't know who Joseph was.
Oh, no.
None of them had any idea.
And that's pretty cool. And you know, there's a deeper truth there. Because when we run into somebody with that same spirit of God within them, And, you know, like the first Sunday I met you when you came to Beacon of Hope four years ago?
A little bit over three. It was in the end of September 2008.
I remember we were meeting in the hotel there in Dunedin after a truck had run through our church. We didn't have a church building. And I remember you were standing there and I remember talking with you and I immediately knew your heart. I remember thinking, this man has a heart after God. I immediately felt that from you, and it was just like right there. I knew it. Now, sometimes we don't know it about people, and we can be deceived. Right. And there are times that people say the right things, and they put up the pretense, or they have all the God talk.
Right.
But it's not heart talk, right. You know?
Right. Well, and reciprocally.
That's a big word.
Reciprocity-wise.
There you go.
I felt when I walked into Beacon, it just witnessed in my heart that I found it. You know, I found home. This is where, you know, you and I talking, it just witnessed. And
we both went to Ball State University, yeah, I mean, didn't know
just,
each other.
It was just too wild, wasn't it?
Muncie, Indiana.
God incidences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was, I mean, and for me, it was a big step because, you know, I'd had some trouble in the prior church that I pastored in, and I, you know, swore I'd never, oh, please, I'm never going to be anywhere around some woman pastor. And look what
happened.
Isn't
God funny? Isn't he funny? He's got such a sense of humor.
Yeah, and the really funny thing is, for the longest time, I was the only guy showing up on Sunday morning.
Right, there for a while, yeah.
So.
And you still stuck it out with all of us women.
Because, well, like I said. Beacon was home. Yeah. You know, it just witnessed in my spirit.
You knew.
Right.
You felt the spirit of God.
Exactly.
You felt the connection.
I felt the anointing. The spirit in you. And I just knew this is where I need to be. And even then, the furthest thing from my mind was thinking, I'm just going to say, I'm going to enjoy the songs. I'm going to enjoy the preaching. And I can let somebody else do the pastoring.
Right. And finally, a year and a half
ago,
you accepted the call to be the associate pastor. And we make a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, I've never enjoyed working with somebody as much as I enjoy working with you. Because our hearts are united and we're on the same page. And I mean, I can't even name you times that we disagree because we see things the same.
Right.
Our hearts are the same.
Because there's never been a disagreement. Because I know doctrinally there's some things that we're a little not even that far apart on. I'm sure. I mean,
right.
I know. Like, you know,
you're talking about the rapture.
The rapture. Yeah. You know, it's like. But the really cool thing is.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It doesn't matter.
You know,
doesn't matter.
I've been in churches where people would have knockdown, drag out fights over this thing, and it's like. It's okay.
You know, it's all about loving our people, you mm-hmm. know, and it's all about walking in forgiveness.
Right, and that's what Joseph did.
Yeah.
You know, he forgave his brothers.
Yes.
And I think that forgiveness, another important point is that forgiveness then allows God to move in that other person's life.
Totally.
If I'm holding a grudge, say I'm really angry at Nan for something, and I'm not, darling, I'm not at all, but you know that. But let's say if I'm really holding unforgiveness, I'm stopping not only God from moving in my life,
right.
but I'm stopping God from moving in Nan's life.
It binds you up.
It really binds you up. And, you know, because Joseph had forgiven his brothers, God was free to move in Joseph's life and in the lives of his brothers. And he
Absolutely.
Did.
And bringing them there. And it's so interesting that Joseph was in charge of all this distribution of grain. So they had to go through Joseph
right.
to get any food.
Right.
And there wasn't a choice. It wasn't like there could be somebody under him. Joseph chose to administer it himself.
Right. And just imagine because Joseph, I'm sure, had no idea. I mean, you know, he had the dreams, and yet, you know, and I'm sure he still believed that the dreams would come true.
Right.
But I'm sure he had
no
idea.
Clue how.
And then all of a sudden, there's his brothers. And it says in, you know, in chapter 42 of Genesis, and Joseph remembered his dreams, plain and simple. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now there they are.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, it happened.
Okay. You know, you got to think that through all these years, I mean, this is 22 years from the time he was thrown in the pit and sold into slavery. 22 years is a long time. And a lot of times during 22 years of waiting for God to move and restore, say, a relationship, it can be rather a, God, where are you? It can be a time where people can turn into bitterness and
right,
resentment.
Right, because you think, why are you taking so long? And, you know, look, I mean, you can always think about Joseph. 22 years mm-hmm. it took.
Yeah. But then the miracle is right there in front of me.
Right.
And it's just, wow.
Right.
It reminds me of our praise band, because after the truck ran through our church, everything had to go in storage, so we could not use our instruments because we were traveling. We were having church in a box.
Church in a box.
Out of the back of my SUV, we had my preaching stool and a little tiny boom box.
And the hotel that we met in after the hotel in Dunedin, which, by the way, I noticed today is completely out of business.
Yeah.
I was shocked. But we don't remember how blessed we thought we got a closet there to store our stuff in.
Yeah, like, we felt so good. We had
don't
a closet.
Have to be church in a box anymore. We have a closet to store
That's
stuff
right.
in.
That's right. That was a big deal. We had the picture of Jesus. It's at the front of Beacon of Hope.
Right.
And just
the
a few things.
The
offering bag. And
but it was, you know, and that was, but, you know, God had so much more in store.
And go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, it took that waiting. I know you mentioned the praise band, because all that stuff had to be in storage.
June 25th of 08 is when we covenant together in Dunedin before you ever came mm-hmm. to Beacon of Hope. And I have it written in the front of my other Bible what we all agreed on. And one of the things we agreed on is that we would have our own place again. We would have all of our musical instruments back, and we would have a praise band. And I wrote in there that rocks us and propels us into the presence of the Lord. And tell me, guys, do we have that now at Beacon of Hope? It rocks us, and it just propels us into God's presence.
I like
presence.
Your word propels, because that's what I was feeling last week.
Isn't it amazing?
And I was propelled across that floor.
You were. Yes. You were dancing before the Lord.
And, you know, it's, but yeah. And there, and
we
there,
believed.
I mean, it took, you know, over three and a half years. Well, because we started forming the praise band back in February.
Yeah, I guess it took about 2.5.
So, it took a while.
It took a while.
But the point is, Joseph, he may have, I don't know if he forgot about his dreams or not, but he sure remembered when that dream came to pass. Because if God gives us those dreams,
yes.
And, you know, sometimes God does give us those dreams that he wants
yes.
us to hang on to.
Amen.
Then if he's the giver of the dream,
right.
he will bring it to pass.
Amen.
You know, in Jeremiah it says, I'm watching over my word to perform it.
Yes.
He's watching over that kind of stuff to make sure that it happens.
He always fulfills his word. Amen and amen. And that's what happened by, you know, the circle of life. The brothers had to come back and see Joseph. They had to be forgiven by him, or know that he had forgiven them. You know, go ahead.
You just had a rhema word here.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Well, no, it concerns a prophecy that was prophesied over me when I was pastoring in Chicago.
Okay.
I forget the pastor's name, but she lived out in Missouri somewhere. She came to our church service, and we invited her in, and she prophesied that I would lead, you know, would be somebody who would be doing praise and worship and leading congregation in praise and worship. And I'm thinking at that point, yeah, I'm a pastor. Yeah, whatever. You know, and now look, you know,
look
every Sunday I'm on the praise team.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, it's like, okay, there you go. I never thought I really... And I thought it was going to be fulfilled by, like, doing the CDs. I mean, and that was a partial fulfillment.
Right, but it's the singing, singing your tenor part and all that.
But it's just being the part of that and leading people in the praise, you know. And that's why I think, you know, I had that word this morning about the praise band, because I'd read it
yes.
in First Chronicles 16 about the Levites
yes.
before the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
And it's like, oh, yeah. and God gave me that word.
Happening.
It's like, that's who we are. We are the Levites in front of the Ark of the Covenant.
And it takes faith to get to these places. Mm-hmm. When it looks, dear friend out there in Radio Land, when it looks like your dreams and your hopes have not been fulfilled and never will be, is when you have to hang on to the promises
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
And you have to believe. So listen to what faith can do by Cutlass.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end. Even when the sky is falling, I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step. Out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life's so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end.
Song.
Oh, me too.
What faith can do. Connie just waits on the Lord for what the songs are going to be. I just give her, all I said to her this week was, great is thy faithfulness. It's about God's mercy. And that this is what we got. And look how it just fits. And it's just mm-hmm. listening to the Spirit of God. So, Pastor Jim, here we are, Joseph, and we have been talking about him so much today. And I think that we see God's mercy through Joseph to his brothers. When he could have tried to hold them accountable. And you know, that's a big word these days, holding somebody accountable. And yet when God forgives, he forgives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in fact, in Psalm 103, I love that, when he says that when he forgives, he removes that as far as the east is from the west. He removes our transgressions from us. So when we say, but God, I did this and then I did that, he's going, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Because it's gone.
It's
when
gone.
He forgives it, it's gone.
And again, people have heard us talk about this before. You can go north till you can't go north anymore.
Right.
You can go south on this globe until you can't go south anymore, because then you're going to be headed back north. But you can just keep going east as long as you want. And you can keep going west as long as you want, because they never end. And God says, so, you know, hey, from infinity east to infinity west, That's how far I've taken your sins from you.
Praise God. And that's the kind of God we serve. I love 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And I also like the verses that start off chapter 2.
Yeah.
I'm writing this to you so that you don't sin.
Right.
But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The righteous one.
Yes.
And he is the propitiation, the atonement, the forgiveness for all of our sins, and not just ours, but those of the whole world.
Oh, I love that.
You know what? What more invitation do we need when we mess up? And we all mess
if
up.
We
all
confess.
Sin.
Yes.
You know, if we confess, God says, you know what? I don't want you to sin, but if you do, I've taken care of it.
I've already done it. He was wounded for our transgressions. You know, it's a matter of appropriating the gift that he's already given us, that, right. The gift of forgiveness and salvation. And these brothers, they went and they were the recipients of the forgiveness mm-hmm. of their brother. They were blessed abundantly for years in advance. And we're not going to go there right yet. But they were so blessed because Joseph chose to forgive them
right.
instead of harbor resentment. There are some of you out there right now that have been harboring resentment towards someone or some situation. Maybe it's many someones in your life. And the Lord would say to you today very strongly, you got to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to forgive that person who has harmed you, has wronged you. Some things in our lives, we say, well, I'm never going to forget that. I am never going to forgive that person because that was so horrible. God does not give us that ability. He does not give us that privilege to not forgive. He says we have to forgive. It's not a choice.
It's not a choice.
It's not a choice.
It's not a choice. It's a command.
It is a command. It's up to us what we do with that. And look at the life of Joseph. He was blessed. And this series, Being Blessed Beyond. Go back and catch these shows that you may have missed and get all of these six shows on Being Blessed Beyond. Because Joseph was blessed beyond all that he could imagine or think, which is Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do.
Exceedingly abundantly above
beyond all
that we dare ask or
Woo!
Think.
Praise God, according to him, and to him be glory in the church for both now and forevermore. So, Pastor Jim, we don't have the right to harbor unforgiveness and bitterness. We don't have that right.
Exactly.
We've got to settle this account. Whatever the accounts are with God, we need to settle them.
Right.
If you died tonight, would you be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? Or would you still be reaping the results of your unforgiveness and your lack of desire mm-hmm. for the things of God? Because God says, I have a better plan for you. And that plan is that you reach out and accept my forgiveness. And if you receive God's forgiveness for your sin, you also need to, at the same time, release people who
right.
owe you in your mind. You got to release them. If there's anybody out there right now who is not sure of their salvation, Romans 10:9-10 says that if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if we turn around, go the other way from our sins,
right?
Whether that be bitterness and unforgiveness, if we walk away from that and say, God, forgive me for that, and I choose to forgive so-and-so for what they did to me. When you make those decisions, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Right, and it's kind of like what I taught on a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. In Bible study, the difference between changing your mind and truly repenting.
Yes.
Because Judas, after he betrayed Jesus, changed his mind.
Yeah.
He felt bad for what he did. He changed his mind and thought, okay, this was a bad thing to do. But he didn't repent. If he'd repented, he would have never hung himself.
Right.
And in the Greek, it's two different words.
Right.
You know, Judas changed his mind. He
right.
did not repent.
Right.
And if he had repented, he would have been forgiven.
Right.
Plain and simple, he would have been forgiven.
But
he chose to think it was bad and not, you know, he turned a little bit.
Yeah.
Repentance is turning all the way around and coming back to God.
Exactly.
He realized what he did was wrong, but he didn't make the rest of the turn. He didn't make the rest of the turn and come back to God.
unforgiveness, if it's allowed to fester in your life, will turn into bitterness. You will become that bitter old bag. Mm-hmm. It'll turn into resentment. It'll get worse and worse. It won't get better. It'll get worse. And a few years down the road of living like that, you will be develop. And I'm just telling you, I've seen this happen in people. There is a medical correlation between bitterness and cancer. Mm-hmm. And they've proven that. So it can develop into all kinds of things. So it behooves you, my dear one, to let go of the resentments and the bitterness and the unforgiveness in your life.
Well, and it just feels better.
Yeah, why not feel good if you can?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, just on a pure level like that. You know, you're just not bound up
exactly
with that. And believe me, if you're harboring unforgiveness, it just eats at you, and it's all you think about.
Right.
You know, something will happen, it'll pop up in your mind, and you'll just churn in anger.
And you'll tell 1,900 friends all about what happened to you.
You'll be all over Facebook telling this stuff.
Right, you'll all be all over Facebook, yeah. So it is time to let go of that resentment and that bitterness. And, dear one, I want to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you in agreement. We are in the prayer of agreement right now that there are those that are listening now or later on as they listen to this show on our website, Lord, that need to let go of some unforgiveness, some bitterness, some resentment. Lord, as they have listened to the words of this show, let this sink down deep within them and let there be a turning point, a decision point right now where they say, I choose to forgive so-and-so. It doesn't mean I agree with what was done to me, but I choose to let it go. They don't owe me anymore, and I move forward. Yeah. And God, I believe right now that there are multitudes that are going to do this. They're going to let go of the sins that have been perpetrated against them, and they are going to lay them at the foot of Jesus. Amen. And they're going to let it go. They're going to let it go. So, Lord, I speak your blessing and your anointing into each life that is listening or will listen to this show. And, Lord, we declare right now that these people listen to your voice and choose to forgive in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Nan, did you have a thought that you wanted to interject there? And then Pastor Jim, I'm coming to you for some final words.
About unforgiveness, I was thinking and reflecting upon a whole period of time in my life where I had a lot of unforgiveness, and it was for my ex-husband, and I was wronged in a lot of things, in a lot of ways. And I held unforgiveness towards him for a long time, actually, and I felt justified. And then when I started really trying to serve the Lord during that period of time in my life, all of a sudden I realized this was wrong. And God actually helped me deal with it to the point that I did not hold that unforgiveness anymore. In fact, when my ex-mother-in-law passed away in April, with his permission, how cool was that? I was able to attend the funeral because
cool.
That's my son's grandmother, you know?
Right, sure.
And he and I, during our brief passing, got along just fine. And there was just a peace there.
That's
and I
great.
Know that came from the unforgiveness. I mean, the forgiveness that
yes.
I gave in the situation.
Amen. That's great.
And, I mean, that's just a
real life lesson.
You know, seeing that. So.
That's a real life lesson. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks for your poem. And anybody out there that wants a copy of that can write me, pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com, and get a copy of that. Pastor Jim, some final thoughts.
Well, you know, well, first of all, totally.
Time flies, right?
Yeah, well, time flies.
When you're having fun.
But secondly, I mean, again, I'm amazed. And I just wanted to say this. Look at, we just covered a little bit of scripture. And look at how much was in that. And I just want to encourage people to really get into God's word, because that's my love. I mean, I love to get into it. Wait till you see till Wednesday. I mean, we're even going over three Greek prepositions and
good,
what they mean.
Good,
so, I mean,
I like Greek prepositions.
There's some really cool stuff.
All right.
But I just want to encourage everybody, like Joseph, you don't know what God's going to do
right.
if you open the door to let him do it. Ooh. You know, I don't know what Joseph, you know, I'm sure he remembered the dreams, but I don't know if he had any idea that that's how they were going to be manifested.
So often we don't know the plan, but boy, we see it when it comes and we go, oh, there you go. So praise God. We will continue this great discussion of Joseph in our series, Being Blessed Beyond. If you want to hear more on this, join us this coming Sunday morning at Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Easy to find. Great location. And you can join us at 10 a.m. for a wonderful service. Our praise band is absolutely anointed of God. Powerful, wonderful. This coming Sunday, the music is going to rock you and propel you into the very presence and the anointing of God. I promise, I guarantee you. And it'll be a wonderful time in the Word and ministry. And you'll get to know some great people who just love the Lord. We're such a diverse group. I'll tell you what, we are eclectic. I guess is the word, and I love it.
Yes, we are.
I love it. There are just so many differences, and it's so wonderful. We have such a span of age group from 4 or 5 years old up to
43.
Something like that. And so we just—I mean, it's really the age group, the racial diversity, the sexual orientation diversity. All of it is just amazing to me and wonderful how God has done this. Different walks of life, professional people, non-professional people.
Well, and I'm reminded that we took communion today too, which is, I look at that as the sacrament of unity.
Yes, and that's what happened.
And all of us, we're brought together. We're all one body, no matter how different we are.
Amen. There's no distance.
Amen.
There's no distance from the love of God. That is our closing song. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, here today with Pastor Jim Elsberry and Nan Watson. And what a great show it was, gang. And we hope you will join us Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday at 7 at Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. We have a prayer line that's 24/7, crisis prayer line, prayers, that's plural, prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries, again plural.com. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Write your prayer, send it to us. We got a huge team that will take your needs to the Lord. It's not far to Jesus. We're going to be here live next week at 4 o'clock, and we're excited for this opportunity.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great week. Woo! It's been fun to talk about God. Have a great week. God bless you.
It's not far.